Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty. We're doing running back rundown here, going right down the human hand grenade index. So I brought some stats ready to rock and roll here. Zeke, the Cowboys, 16.9 expected points per game. That is good for running back 11. Running back 11 in points per game at 17.5. So performing above expectation. That's good. 70% or more snap share in games not decided by three or more scores. So when they haven't been blowing people out, he's been getting a ton of volume. So the games where they've pounded on people, that's where you've seen Tony Pollard get the work. Otherwise, Zeke, workhorse, moving on. Dalvin Cook, Madison, that's the order of it, basically. Madison's essentially a four-touch player on games where Cook is playing. No Kenny Ngannou offensive snaps so far this year. Cook himself is at 18.7 expected points per game. That is sixth. He is actually scoring 16 points per game. So below expectation, most of that is touchdown related. So he looks much more like a running back two. 16 points per game is running back 15 in terms of average on the season. That's, again, counting Cordarrelle Patterson above him. And there's no real, like, otherwise, like one start guys jumping above him to sort of fluctuate that stat like there was at some of the quarterback stuff, for example. That's not really the case here. So he's very much a running back two type performer. I think a lot of it is touchdowns. So he's 5.8 expected touchdowns. He's at three actual touchdowns. But when you do sort of extrapolate that out, that six through nine games, it's not anything that's going to be super productive on the season. Like, that's still a concern. Like, that's not a huge number. So again, it's seven games. So I guess when you do consider the fact that he only has had seven games to do that, you're still looking, you know, way up there. You do have room for time for regression, room for that to happen. I guess six touchdowns in seven games. That's and he's basically, it's 6.2 expected touchdowns between receiving and rushing. So he's at half of his expectation, below half his expectation on only seven games. So I should take back what I said about his touchdown numbers being that low. I forget that he had missed a couple of games there. So, I think he still has plenty of opportunity here to put up a big second half of the season and be the, good running back one type performer here going forward. Madison's a must hold. All right. No Kamara. That's 18 touches for 108 yards and a rushing touchdown for Ingram. Madison theory in full effect as only three touches between Tymo and Dwayne Washington. I did see it. I haven't seen any reports updated on it yet. I saw Montgomery leave with what appeared to be an arm injury. I have mischaracterized the severity of those at other points in the season. Benny Snell, who I'm still convinced rapidly healed overnight from what appeared to be a broken arm, but we'll watch there and see how Tymo progresses. I don't think there's a clear high-end producer on this depth chart behind Ingram. You know, if it's Montgomery's out, then I think it's probably switched to Dwayne Washington. They probably add someone. I don't know who that would be, but at that point, I think Kamara's probably back anyway, so you're looking at that. And maybe Tony Jones. Like, Tony Jones will be on his way back too, so that would probably be where it goes. Detroit and DeAndre Swift runs an unreasonable 36 touches, and that's with Jamal Williams out. He's basically the starter version of the Madison theory, as there was seven total snaps between Jamar Jefferson and Igwabuki. Notably, they both scored touchdowns, which is something we can't say for DeAndre Swift, despite the fact that he had five times as many touches as they had snaps. He doesn't find his way in the end zone. How that happens, you tell me. I'm not sure. Swift has continued to underproduce his expected points. He's continued to underproduce his expected rushing production. And the 33 rushes this week, it's not particularly efficient. Like, he hasn't been a particularly efficient rusher. So I do think he's one that if he's being rostered as like running back two. I think thinking about ways to, or being valued as running back two, thinking about ways to pivot off of him for plus plus or across positions, I do think it makes some sense here going forward. The issue that I have with him is, like, it's such good volume, and it is really high expectation. Even if he misses by 10%, like, it's still really productive. All right, so Cleveland, 26 total touches for D'Ernest Johnson, 157 total yards. That's good for seventh in terms of expected points at 22.6 points per game. Really good. So good on him. Productive, productive week. The Rams, it's the same story here. Darrell Henderson, Sony Michel, Buddy Howell. That is a Monday night football game, so we'll see where that goes. Green Bay, it's Aaron Jones, MRI, MCL, couple week absence. It looks like 1 to 2 weeks. They're on a week 14 bye. AJ Dillon on the season, running back 7 in terms of PFF grade at 84.9. So this is a smash type spot for him over the next couple weeks as buys start to wrap up. But the season continues. You know, we still have running back injuries happening. And to get a couple spot starts here out of Dillon, good. I'm happy that my knee theory that it was going to be worse on Aaron Jones than it was. I'm happy that that was proven wrong, it appears, at this point. Darrell Williams, I ride my bike typically during Sunday Night Football. I have it on like a little stand in my basement. So I typically, that's just my one of my days that I actually try and get some exercises during the Sunday Night Football game. It's usually during the second half. And I was just riding along, and I almost lost entire control of my body. Thank God I was attached to the ground, because the Darrell Williams high point in the end zone was just like more than I could take. Just crushed it. Running back 1 on the week. Just smash spot for him there. So really good performance. I didn't play him in a couple spots, and I'm fortunately, I don't think it actually cost me in any games, but it's going to cost. I didn't play him in Scott Fishbowl. I played Jacobs over him, which was a mistake. And I will pay for that, because that's like 25 points that I left on the table that I could have done some damage with. But so he's been good. We're waiting for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to return. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets his job back. But this is good news for Darrell Williams, because it continues to prove that I think that he is someone that we feel confident with being an injury away guy. You know, we talked about this in some other formats. Him being competent and knowing what we know, like Ramondre Stevenson, a guy we'll talk about in a minute here. We know now, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we do know now that he can play and that we have a useful asset. We thought we did with Williams, but it's always nice to get those sort of that proof and, you know, leave on a good note. If this is his last start, like, we've left on a good note of it. And that's a positive thing. When you're considering rostering these guys and, you know, they're basically bimodal outcomes. They're either productive or they're not. Knowing that they're good, it makes the wait a little bit easier. Lenny's locked in Tampa, leading rusher, leading receiver, and basically just putting Rojo out to pasture essentially at this point. So good on Fournette there, top of the position, right? You know, top six or so projections in terms of expected points. Smash spot. Tennessee is a total cluster, and so it's basically thirdsies. So if you just think of it in three equal shaped pies, that's pretty close to an approximation of it. AP 33% snap share, 9 touches. It's good for less than 25 yards, 35% snap share for Deonta Foreman. That is 13 touches, and he, 78 yards, he goes 2 for 48 in the receiving game. My buddy Chad Parsons always thought that he had good receiving metrics despite low volume, just from some of the efficiency stuff, so shout out to him on that. Jeremy McNichols, 5 touches, 4 carries, 1 run reception, less than 10 yards. Just a total wasteland. Good luck figuring it out. Deonta Foreman's a priority add, I think, is probably the key. But I don't have a a particularly great feel about who to start week to week. All right, next up here is Atlanta, notably Wayne Gallman, 43% snap share, 15 carries. Davis, 37% snap share, only 4 carries. There was a Cordarrelle Patterson injury. We'll see if he's going to miss time, but I think Gallman is a priority add in terms of, like, this could totally have flipped on its head in a weekend and been absolutely surprising. So I think Gallman's going to represent a priority add this week in terms of your waiver wires where he's not rostered. Ramondre Stevenson, running back 2 on the week thus far. 4 catches, 12 routes for Brandon Bolden, 9 for Stevenson, only 4 for J.J. Taylor. So I think once Harris comes back, you can cut Taylor again. You know, rotate on, rotate off. Like, neurotic about the last, like, 3 or 4 spots of rosters as absolute best you can. There's some rosters that I struggle with. I don't get it perfectly right. But giving that effort, again, you're just taking small shots. All right, we have additional information on Taylor. Cut him. Now Harris is back. We can cut him. Just continue to do those things. And I think that's highly valuable. Devontae Freeman is really your running back to own in the absence of Latavius Murray in Baltimore. I don't know if Latavius Murray is getting his job back. I hope so. I'm not sure. We're still waiting on his return. That still might be multiple games in the future. So we're not totally sure how that's going to be. I think Freeman, you know, he's like running back 2 range flex type consideration, I think, each week. You know, Le'Veon Bell, 3 touches, 1 yard. I think once Latavius Murray gets back, you can cut Bell. San Francisco, Elijah Mitchell. We'll see what happens on Monday Night Football. But he and then Jamichael Hasty looks like he might miss some time, so we'll be on the watch for that. And then you've got Jeff Wilson, Sermon. I don't have a particularly good feel if Jamichael Hasty's out. I'm guessing it's going to be Jeff Wilson. I'm hoping that we get some Sermon, but I'm not optimistic at this point. Just not totally trustworthy of Shanahan at all. Arizona, 13 touches, 64 yards, and a touchdown for James Conner. That game got totally off the rails. Eno Benjamin, 7 routes, 6 for 22 rushing. It's still a Conner job. Like, and honestly, if you're trying to buy Conner, like, it's not a bad week to do it because it wasn't super difference-making. I think the schedule eases up a little bit for him as well going forward. The Cardinals did put Chase Edmonds on IR, so that's a notable a secure position there for James Conner, especially considering the fact that he's got to miss 3 weeks and then he can be activated, Edmonds, that is. It's still some time away for that to potentially happen. Carolina, CMC was 4th in expected points this week, 13 rushes, 95 yards, 10 for 10 in terms of targets, caught them all, 66 yards, 21 routes. Only 2 routes for Chuba Hubbard. He goes at 9 for 27. He actually gets a touchdown. Amir Abdullah also playing 21% of snaps, so him and Chuba Hubbard add up for about 40% of snaps. You get 60% out of Christian McCaffrey. So not the super workhorse yet. However, you still get 23 touches. You get north of $160. That's really good. He just needs to score a touchdown. I think he scored a touchdown in 1 game this year. So hopefully some of that stuff will regress there for him. Total time share in Denver, 10 touches, 47 yards for Melvin Gordon and a touchdown. 10 touches, 49 yards, and 0 touchdowns for Javonte Williams. It's rinse-repeat there. I think Javonte Williams will be interesting next year in terms of where he's at. I think Melvin Gordon's played well enough to potentially earn more opportunity. So good on him there, and we'll see sort of where that ultimately ends up. But Javonte Williams might need to wait. And this is a situation, you know, we see this pattern, right? It's the Nick Chubb, it's the Joe Mixon, which is basically the theory that they get essentially half the season. Well, this would be the time for Javonte Williams. However, Melvin Gordon's better than all their predecessors. That's really the concern there and the hang up. So good on Melvin Gordon for not giving up the fight, because I think he was written off by a lot of people and he's been fine on his volume so far. Giants, Chicago, and Cincinnati, if you're just following down the matrix, they are all on a bye. So you have that. Philly just pounding away on the ground the past couple weeks. So in the last 3 weeks, you've got Gainwell really slipping behind Howard and Scott, but Howard 41 carries, 33 for Scott over the past 3 weeks. Between the two of them, almost 400 total yards. It's a total blank for Howard in terms of on the receiving game. He has run 13 routes, 21 routes for Scott. He's gone 2 for 24 on 3 targets. So again, Gainwell is basically the total third guy in that offense. I got like a third for him earlier on in this, last month, I think, or whenever, right after Miles Sanders went out, I got a third like right after that for him. And after we saw basically Scott get some of the initial work, it was that weird game where they won by a lot. And it was like, oh, look, Gainwell was the leading rusher. And it was like, yeah, but he played like he was mopping up garbage time. And it was like, if you didn't know, you didn't know, and you were exploitable. Didn't make that mistake on the AOD podcast. We knew that and were able to cash out. Alex Collins is the lead back in Seattle. I think that's clear now. No Penny this week. It's Homer and Collins. Collins basically doing the rushing, Homer doing some of the receiving stuff, and Penny didn't log any production this week. So that's notable there. I think Collins, if Carson's back, he is the injury away guy, and we feel pretty confident about that. I'll say this. No, this is a good time of the season to sort of know these things too. Like, hey, if Carson comes back, it's not the worst thing in the world, because a Carson injury and all of a sudden, like, we've got Collins all the way back. I worry about Carson that this could be a short career. Like, this could be, he gets cut and then like this stuff really sort of adds up to him, and it's not great over the long haul for him. James Robinson, again, he's performing like one of the better running backs in the league in terms of PFF grade, some of that stuff. Like, that's really good. 59% snap share this week. He's sort of battling through that. It's like a heel foot type injury. So just over a quarter of the snaps for Carlos Hyde. So we'll continue to monitor that. I think the situation is relatively clear. It's James Robinson. It's Carlos Hyde. And that's your situation. The return of Tevin Coleman sucks for all involved. It is 6 touches for him. Michael Carter, 17. Coleman, 6. Ty Johnson, 7. So Ty Johnson, 5 for 36 through the air this past week. Like, he was flex viable, which is crazy to say aloud. Again, now he's sort of back in a muddled mess, and Carter's the lead guy. Ty Johnson had played well, so now they're going to just sort of go back to Tevin Coleman not playing well with his snaps. I think if I want to own someone here, like, give me a cheap, dirt cheap for Sheriff Ty Johnson, and we'll see there. I worry about Carter's offseason cost too. If he's going to be like a top 25 guy, consider me hard out. Okay, Miami, Myles Gaskin, 15 touches, 4 combined for Ahmed and Patrick Laird. That tells you pretty much the story there. I don't have particularly high hopes long term on that situation, but that's where we are. All right, a couple more here. Breida had a big performance here, but he didn't play. Like, he barely played. So just keep for what that's worth. Like, it's he. This isn't a committee situation at all. It's just not. It's very much a he got hot on low volume. Like, he played 8 snaps, 14% of the snaps this week. Moss played 48, and Singletary played 38. Like, this isn't a committee. So I wouldn't get super worried about it. Maybe a spec bid dollar, something like that, deeper rosters, but I'm not, like, he's nowhere near lineups, so for what that's worth. And I think it's Moss over Singletary. Any week that Moss has been able to finish since week 3, he's played more snaps than Singletary, so that pretty much tells you the deal there. And that's pretty much it. And you look at this past week for him, like, I thought it was actually an interesting but that chance, like, he escapes with a touchdown, 7 for 27 and a touchdown. So he escapes. I was hoping for more, but that's fine. Breida gets a touchdown in both on the ground and in the air. Singletary gets one as well. But Breida had 6 touches and 2 touchdowns on like a dozen snaps. let's not get carried away. On eight snaps. So on 75% of his snaps, he was touching the ball. Let's not get carried away in terms of, you know, how what this does for his market or anything like that. All right. Last couple here. The Chargers, the least clear situation in the entire league. Eckler, very clear, 14 touches, 59 yards, touchdown. That's as a total touches, so 14 total touches, 59 total yards. Roundtree goes 5 rushes for 10 yards and a touchdown. Kelly goes 1 for 6. Listen, if you have a clear situation here, like if you have someone that you could clear up a share of, do it and cut whoever's in the Chargers, because I don't think from any week – like, I got no clue. Like, I really don't have a good bet. I'd much rather bet on, like, Benny Snell than one of these guys, because I just, like, it's reached the Pittsburgh level of backup, at least with more information that's totally arbitrary, it seems like, at this point. So, those are all things that I would, I just don't have a great answer for. So, if, for example, like, someone like Jarrett Patterson or someone like that's available, like, I'd be hunting for those shots. You know, even Godwin Igwabuki, if Jamar Jefferson's injured, Jamal Williams is out, like, I think that share is interesting as well. And then last but not least, Gibson back to being good producer this past week. It has been limited in terms of the and some of the receiving stuff, but continues to see his fair share of volume, goes above 20 touches again. And yeah, I mean, I think you're going to be in a situation, he's going to be valued like Josh Jacobs was next year. Like, that's going to be sort of the market that he fits in. 24 rushes, 64 yards and a touchdown. And I think your hopes that he was like a poor man's DeAndre Swift, probably out the window. But, you know, if he can be, like, I think you kind of want Josh Jacobs at this point. I think if you can pivot to that, you know, a pivot away from Gibson, because you're sort of worried about that typing of him, I think that's actually makes a lot of sense. He's negative in terms of rushing yards over expectation. He's at negative 0.18. So that's, you know, not great either. So that's pretty much it for the position this week. On the season, Dearness Johnson, second in terms of rushing yards over expectation. Nick Chubb, third. Kareem Hunt, fifth. Do we think that's correlated in any way? I'm not sure. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.